In 2012, Metro Trains in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, released a public service announcement that you heard this morning called Dumb Ways to Die. It was aimed at young drivers and those who would become young drivers very soon. And for any of you who have not seen it, it's available on YouTube. It's become one of their very popular videos. It's an adorable cartoon with the catchy song. And it was designed to stop people from getting hurt around trains. And according to Metro Trains, who took quite a bit of flack for this little catchy song, the campaign contributed to a more than 30% reduction in near-miss accidents in the winter months of 2012 and 2013. It made people think before something bad happened. It stuck in your head. I know I personally swore I would never sell both kidneys on the internet or dress up like a moose in hunting season. But for a group of us, my colleagues and I, it made us think a little more, a little beyond that catchy tune and bubblegum cartooning. Most of us, having made it this far, are pretty good about not randomly sticking a fork in the toaster. We don't chow down on a tube of super glue. But that doesn't always mean we're somehow safe from bad things happening. Bad things do happen. Bad things happen, good things happen, unexpected things happen. And bad or good, when the unexpected happens, people deal with it in all sorts of ways, some quite surprising. Anybody ever told you, "I hate surprises"? How many of you hate surprise birthday parties? I know I'm one of them. Sometimes even good surprises can be bad surprises. And sometimes when a surprise is good and the outcome is obviously positive, we just call it pure luck. And we wait for the other shoe to drop somewhere because we're sure it's going to. I still remember the old black and white movies I grew up with on Saturday mornings, where it would be a jungle movie and you would hear a lot of drumming and loud noises in the background, and someone would say, "Ah, you know, they're restless tonight." And if it was quiet and there was no noise, you'd hear, "I don't like it, it's too quiet." Any way it goes, we're usually prepared for the worst, for the other shoe. And when something bad happens, if any good arises from it, I have noticed that people in general seem predisposed to regard it as somehow tainted because it's connected to whatever the bad thing was. But good can come from the strangest places, even the worst events, if we are prepared to allow it to do so. Serendipity is the unexpected good in life, the accidental moment of joy, regardless of what triggered it. You can't plan for it, but you can be ready for it when it comes. And UU history is a good place to see this once in a while. John Murray was a lucky man, by all accounts. He went to a fine college, was well known as a respected universalist preacher, and he married very well. His wife actually loved him. And in time, they had a beautiful son. And then catastrophe struck. First his wife, and then his son became ill and died. And unable to face the weight of ministry after this, John lost his job. His savings drained away, and at last he found himself in debtor's prison. With his world in ruins and his faith shattered, his family gone, he thought his life was over. Friends paid his way from prison and urged him to go somewhere far, far away and start over. He sailed for America on a ship named the Hand in Hand, and the wind blew the ship toward New York, and John contemplated what he would do when he got there. In September of 1770, as they neared the coastline of the New World, a fog rolled in and the ship ran aground in New Jersey. Being that Snooky and the cast of Jersey Shore were nowhere in sight, he wasn't quite sure what to do. The ship was in little danger of sinking, but it was stuck fast on sand and rock, and they had to wait for a wind to break it free. And John and a few others volunteered to haul out the ship's boat, row to land, and get directions. They also decided they might take on some supplies while they waited for the wind to change. And after rowing ashore, John saw a farmhouse with a little church beside it. And it so happened that it belonged to the man who wandered out to greet them, a man named Thomas Potter. Thomas Potter welcomed them, shook John's hand, gave him food for everyone on the ship, and then invited him to come back and have dinner with him that night. And John did that, and when he returned, Thomas Potter showed him the little church. Potter said that he had come to believe in a loving God, a God who wanted to accept everyone into heaven. At the time, this was an incredibly radical idea. This was not something you heard in church. You heard sinners in the hands of an angry God. You heard about gods who punished and a God who controlled. But you didn't hear this. And John was absolutely shaken that his newfound friend had said this, and told him he believed the same thing. And Potter told him that he had built the church by hand himself and was waiting. He'd asked God to send him the minister. "You, John, are that minister," he told the surprised man. "I have been waiting for you such a long time." Now, as you can imagine, this was not the news that John Murray wanted to hear. His faith was shattered. His family was gone. He was still bearing the title minister only because he couldn't imagine losing it. But preaching was the last thing on his mind. He had, in fact, sworn in front of witnesses and before God that he would never, ever, ever preach again. Feel where this is going? Thomas Potter didn't give up. He was confident that God personally had sent John Murray to him. And he asked John to preach on Sunday. "I can't preach on Sunday," said John, "because the wind is going to change and my boat will sail and I must be on it." You can sort of imagine the tone of just total relief in his voice. "But if the boat hasn't sailed by Sunday, will you preach?" said Potter. "Yeah. If I'm still here on Sunday, sure, I'll preach," said John Murray. Never before had a man prayed so hard for a stiff breeze and a prevailing wind. But Murray's prayers went unanswered. Without wind and totally becalmed, the ship remained stuck where it was. And on Sunday morning, September 30th, 1770, in the chapel that Thomas Potter had unknowingly built for him 22 years earlier, John Murray preached his first American sermon. You may not realize this, but preaching is like any other addiction. It's almost impossible to stop once you've started. And once he preached, once he felt that energy and that fire again, John Murray found the mission and purpose that his life had lost. He never stopped preaching the word of universal love. And he became one of the founders of what eventually became our faith tradition here in the United States. And he did it because essentially he crossed an ocean and ran out of gas. Now, I can't speak for anyone but myself, but moments like these where things go wrong have never been high on my list of things I'd like to happen to me routinely. And yet, 2 years ago or so, I was driving back to Ohio from Chicago with my best friend from seminary. Outside of Gary, Indiana, 1 mile before the Calumet Avenue exit, to be very exact, we blew out a tire going 80 miles an hour. I managed to get the car safely off the road on the left-hand side where there was a large breakdown area and even a strip of urban prairie. And the tire had torn itself to shreds and the rim was stuck fast. Dumb Ways to Die had just come out, and it was stuck in my head as I jumped up and down on a tire iron, and I prayed I wouldn't be sideswiped by a Prius. We called AAA and spoke to an extremely nice and extremely confused young woman who asked us for directions and then told us help would arrive eventually. An hour or so later, the sun began to go down, and my friend and I were able to watch one of the most gorgeous red and pink sunsets I have ever seen, still sitting by the expressway. And looking up at the sky and the grass on the side of us and out across the cars and the strip of prairie, he said, you know, when you look at what we're seeing, wow, it's really beautiful. And then you smell the gas, you hear the cars, it makes you think about how it all fits together, the contrast. And I was very cold and quite out of temper, and I believe my response to him was something like, I hate you more than anything in the world. And he started to laugh and tease me, and eventually I was able to start laughing. I was so busy wallowing in my annoyance that I didn't even want to see how beautiful it really was. He wasn't kidding. And it took me a minute to shift those mental gears and realize what I was seeing was stunning. We ended up spending 3 hours by that road, laughing and talking and being together. We met a couple of really great guys on the highway crew. And when the AAA woman arrived, it turned out she was dealing with a sick and aging mother and was panicked and was most grateful to have run into two ministers stranded by the side of the road because she needed to talk. We were doing what we were supposed to be doing, where we were supposed to be doing it. We just hadn't expected to be doing it quite that way. It is easy to get so connected to what should be happening that what is happening becomes something to fight against or even ignore. Good or bad, if it wasn't what was planned, it becomes unimportant as we rush to get it back on track, to get back to what we said we were doing rather than what was happening. Fantasy writer Tom Xavier says, of course, that's how life is. A turn of events may seem small at the time it's happening, but you never really know, do you? How can you? One phone call leads to a world-changing life event. One date changes your entire universe. One sentence, your entire life. How can you know? It takes mindful examination of life, minute by minute and day by day, to recognize the moments where well-laid plans may go awry, but possibilities are born. This is a question of relationship with ourselves. How many times have you stood there saying, I should have done something different? I could have done something different. People are going to think I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. It was all my fault. I did this. It's all ruined. How often? And it's just as easy to learn to say, what's next? I can fix this. How incredible. I never expected that. Blaming yourself, shaming yourself, defending yourself against others' opinions, and forgetting to examine what's become possible now that the circumstances have changed. Growth and learning are not about blame. They are about potential. Even if you poked that bear with a stick, even if you were the guy out there metaphorically pouring gasoline on that wasp nest, you didn't think whatever happened was going to happen. Nobody plans to do something really dumb. It's not your fault. Buddhists and Jews, Jesuits and Lutherans, groups from many religions believe there is really no such thing as a coincidence. Each thing that happens is a divine hint, or the universe itself attempting to provide us with a teaching opportunity. Others have said it's karma, or maybe just the ripples sent out in the world coming home to roost. Whatever the reason, and no matter what happens, our call is to stop and explore the situation, to reassess what is possible, to look for something good that may have been created. Run out of gas and realize you're really enjoying that walk to that gas station. Miss your exit and explore a park you never knew existed. Get sent the wrong pizza and discover you love anchovies. Answer a wrong number and find the partner you had been missing for 30 years. Serendipity is the unexpected good in life, the accidental moment of joy, even in the bad times, even in the good times. Can't plan for it, but you can be ready when it comes. Or not. Choice is absolutely up to you. Amen.